Howdy, howdy. Nate and Katie with you. Dave off for a couple of days, recovering from the Vegas trip, off on a vacation with the whole fam damily. So it's just us. Take you up till 9 o'clock. 1 hour in the books, Katie. I thought that we managed to float through it with aplomb. I don't know where you stand on that.
It was painful.
Oh, really?
No.
Okay. I noticed you walking funny. All you good?
I'm good.
You have a back problem still?
I'm great.
Right. We'll get you on the trainer's table after the show. Everything will be good. Get your ice bath.
A little icy hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be great. Maybe get the ultrasound machine going on there.
By the way, that is highly underrated. I don't know how many
people. Dude, I totally agree. I sprained my ankle a couple times, and they put you on that thing, and you sit there, and you're like, this can't possibly be doing anything. But it does. So anyway.
Well, there's something to it if they're using it.
No, I know. You know? I bet it's like, if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. That's why I have my laundry all over the floor of my closet. I'll lose it. If it's not like on the top of my mind, it's gone. So baseball season wrapped up the first part because we're committed to that. We don't use halves here. We used parts. We're much past the first half of the baseball season. All-Star game was good. The home run derby I thought was even better.
I have a problem with the All-Star game.
Why?
We didn't really get into it.
No, like, we didn't.
My problem with it is I don't understand how the results of an All-Star game. What other sport is there where the results, the winner of an All-Star game dictates a home field advantage?
I don't know.
And for a World Series.
I mean, that's just kind of, you know, mystified everyone from the inception of that rule, really,
right.
Which is much like many of the silly rules that are made in professional sports. They're made to protect bad management. I mean, that's what this one really comes down to, too. Like, they did this because one game ended in a tie, because the managers were a bunch of doofuses that didn't, I don't know, handle their lineups well. So they ran out of players and ended in a tie.
There's some weird rules in the All-Star game as well. Like, in terms of, you know, I don't know. It's baseball in general. We kind of talked about
Right, yeah, yeah, you can't come back in,
like that kind of thing. But the weird thing for me in all of this is the fact that the outcome dictates, you know, the
something that matters.
Something that really matters. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to place, like, the All-Star game doesn't matter. And unlike any other sport, this is like a game that actually happens in terms of an All-Star game where you
right.
can't
the
just
irony in this
it.
Is that the baseball yes. All-Star game is like actual competition.
Yes, it's as close to actual regular season competition as
any
you
All-Star
can get,
game.
As you can get. The rest of them, it's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's
why
an
I
absolute
like it.
Joke.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
I think that's why a lot of people do like it, Matt. But the outcome should not dictate like something as serious.
Anything of importance.
In the grand scheme of things, it makes sense because you would think, team that has.
I'll tell you why. It didn't make any difference this year, though. I mean, because, like, I get the idea, but it didn't make any difference this year because still only one manager managed to win. That was Ned Yost, and his team won.
Well, see, I phrased it wrong. I meant in the grand scheme of things, it makes sense that why would you have the stipulation in there? Because you wouldn't want to tax a team that has a better record just because maybe two of their players were represented on the team.
Yeah.
So it cost them. So that makes sense. But for me personally, the MLB All-Star game is the only one I have a lick of interest in actually watching. I love the NBA. The NBA basketball will always be my favorite sport. I can't watch the NBA All-Star game.
Like the way they dribble up and down the court?
It's horrible. Yeah.
There's just zero draw for me. Whereas baseball, at least there's some kind of stipulation involved. So I appreciate. And the Pro Bowl, God, I couldn't even spend a second watching
the
NFL
I haven't watched the Pro Bowl in years.
And
it's terrible.
The reason why is neither of them have any kind of reason to watch. At least
baseball
has.
Give me the last 4 minutes of the NBA All-Star game. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Like, if it's close and gets into the final couple minutes, those dudes are going to turn it up a little bit.
But when does it ever close? 191 to 168 are, like, the average scores
at
that point.
Hey, listen, dude, if you're scoring 200 points in a game, erasing a 20-point deficit is nothing. I mean, it happens very rarely. But, you know, a couple of years ago when, you know, in MJ's last All-Star game, like, you can't tell me that Sean Marion wasn't trying to D him up.
Oh, well, there are great moments in the All-Star game. I mean, I remember a moment when Shaq dribbled the ball under, I can't remember whose legs it was, and then came out on the other side and tried to dunk
Such
it.
Such a baller.
Utterly just botched it. But, I mean, there are cool, fun, exciting, entertaining moments, I guess. But just, there's no reason for me to watch just because there's just no draw.
Well, it's the same thing with the Pro Bowl in terms of football.
Right.
This is a contact sport where people get injured all the time during the regular season, and it can impact a team, like, dramatically. So why are these guys going to go to the Pro Bowl? I know everything's said and done at this point, but why are you going to go to the Pro Bowl and risk a serious injury? It might as well be a flag football game.
Right.
Make it flag football.
I've always said that. Flag football and let the linemen like be the captain. So you get like I want to see Joe Staley playing quarterback in a flag football game. But that's just me. All that going on, the first part of the MLB season is done. We're going to wrap up a bunch of it with Mike Oz of Yahoo Sports coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, so you want to stay tuned there. But as it is right now, we've made a couple of observations. So
yeah, and my computer's being just a pain
in the butt muncher.
But right. So okay. I'm trying to pull up all of my awards that I chose, and my computer's frozen.
Okay.
So it's killing me right now.
Well, let's talk it out. Let's work it out.
Let's
you and
work
me.
It out.
I mean, it's just you and me. We got 2 more hours of this nonsense here.
Yeah, plenty of time to work it out.
First shade of the season. And we're also going to play action overreaction coming up next year, but we just wanted to give some quick awards through the first part.
Let's change it up and let's do that first, and hopefully I can fix my computer.
We got like 3 minutes left in this segment?
Oh. No, let's get into our awards. We don't even have time for the action.
You can do it. You remember some of them off the top of your head?
I remember some of them because the big ones are no freaking surprise to anybody.
Right.
How can you argue with it?
All right, so here's what we're going to do, and we'll take your suggestions on the phones and the text line, too. 2 MVPs, 2 Cy Youngs, and 1 Manager of the Year. Katie, we're going to start in the National League. Who is your most valuable?
No, you start.
Oh, me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm taking Chris Bryant, and I think it would be easy. I mean, really, this year, you could pick 2 pitchers from the National League.
That's the thing. I think that's the interesting thing is that it's like for an MVP, mm-hmm. like pitchers, you talk about the fact that, okay, they're not playing every single day.
Right.
Like, how do you pick a pitcher?
And that's the perpetual debate is, but, you know, when you're looking at some of these things, now Clayton Kershaw's injured right now, and he's kind of been in and out.
But
if he had been on the field for the whole season pitching like this, he's as much of an MVP candidate
but
as that, any position
that's the
player.
Thing. He is for me. He is. I know there's the injury issues mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, but he's like a Cy Young and an MVP pick mm-hmm. for me at this point.
And you could say the absolute same thing about Madison Bumgarner, but I'm not going to.
Is that your Giants rosy glasses?
No, I mean you could
no, you're
like
saying
that.
It.
I mean if you, I don't think that's a secret at all. I mean. These guys right now, and it depends on what kind of metrics you're looking at. I'm a nerd, and I get into the deeper stuff. So, like, I'm really into wins above replacement and stuff like that. And I know that that's a little bit too far in the woods for you, but let me put it to you this way. Kershaw and Bumgarner both they're 2 of the top 3 players in wins above replacement in the National League.
Right.
And the third is Chris Bryant. So the only position player by that, you got a third baseman that just absolutely tears the cover off the ball. I think that guy's pretty good, and I'm taking him as my MVP. You don't agree with that?
No, I gave you mine.
You did?
Yeah.
Kershaw?
Yeah.
Oh, well, look at that.
You're looking at me like, okay, now
no, I
it's
mean,
your
you just,
turn.
Like, you just did it so smoothly there.
It's because I'm a woman. I have a soft touch.
There's nothing smooth about what you do, but that's okay. I like that. All right, so you're going with the pitcher, Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, which I understand that that's tough for some people because they don't make an impact in the game.
Well, he obviously
does on a daily
does,
basis. But yes, mm-hmm. the impact he does make is so gigantic.
Kershaw this year 11-2 with a 1.79 ERA in his 16 starts, and of course has been dealing with some issues here,
it's
mild
back
disc herniation in his lower back. So we'll see how that goes. Moving on, AL MVP. I'm going with Mike Trout. Just give him the damn award every single freaking year that he plays because he's the best player in baseball, and it's not close.
Dang it. I'm really pissed right now.
What, did I take that one from you?
No, I did not pick Mike Trout. But I can't freaking pull it up, and I can't pull it off the top of my head right now.
Robinson Cano, Jose Altuve.
No, oh, it's Altuve.
Is it?
That's the one I chose.
I'm with you on that.
Yes.
That's a fair one. Josh Donaldson also deserving consideration. Jose Altuve, though, pretty solid.
He's, and by the way, I don't think that he's like a favorite. I think that that's kind of like an out-of-the-woods thing. Like, a lot of people are probably going to disagree with me on that.
Yeah, you'll probably
but
well,
you
you'll
know
see
what?
Someone
I
from.
I don't care.
Yeah, well, you're a rebel like that. Yeah. Josh Donaldson, they're 2 games out of first place, and he's having a great year again. National League Cy Young for me, Madison Bumgarner because he's on the field, and Clayton Kershaw hasn't been.
I'm not.
But you got to go with Kershaw, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I gave you that already.
I know,
I gave it to you from
well,
the beginning.
What are you, just
hey, I'm just saying, Nate. Listen, learn to listen.
You're getting like 60% participation points right now.
I'm sorry. So my computer is getting 0% participation right now.
Okay.
So.
How about your Al Cy Young? Do you remember that one? Because I'm going with Dan Salazar of Cleveland.
Yeah,
there's a dark horse for you.
Yeah, no, I chose Salazar as well.
He's having.
I don't like agreeing with you, by the way. This is not fun when I agree with you.
Well, that's why we'll do something different next. Not a lot of great American League pitchers this year having huge seasons. Chris Sale's great, but the best to me, Salazar, 10-3 in 17 starts, a 2.75 ERA, leads the league in ERA plus, and 10.1 strikeouts per 9 innings. That's a lot of Ks, guys, so I'm going with him. Finally, we'll wrap it up. Manager of the year for you is...
I've got Dusty Baker.
Dusty!
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it has nothing to do. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I would disagree with that just in the sense that there were expectations of the Nationals. Now,
yes.
Also see the side, though, that Matt Williams failed those expectations, those very same expectations last year, and lost his job. So Dusty Baker does get credit for that. my pick is going to be Terry Francona. The guy just does it everywhere he goes. Cleveland has no business being at the top of that division this year, and somehow they are. Tito gets it done. He's my guy. When we return, little action overreaction for you. We'll have some more fun with the second part of the baseball season when we return on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. You out there.
I feel like this is like an 80s music. Like, what is the music? What are our rejoiners
this is
today,
from,
Matt?
This is from Cruisin' 64.
This is Jason Derulo's If It Ain't Love. Came out this year.
Okay. If it ain't love, baby, don't hurt me.
Nope, that's what
that's
is love.
That's not the song?
That's what is love.
Oh, man.
you're close.
I was right?
He tried.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Help foster children by donating school supplies Friday, July 22nd, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. right here at these very studios, 5244 Madison Avenue in Sacramento. Bring your gift of paper, pens, crayons, pencils, backpacks, binders, and more to our back-to-school drive. We'll have free lunch courtesy of the Barbecue Pro, and The Drive and the Lowdown will be broadcasting live from outside the KHTK studios while collecting your donations. For more info, visit khtk.com. A lot of baseball going on today. It's just a dull time in sports, and the second part of the season is going on. Last week, we just did our first half awards. We're going to be speaking with Mike Oz of Yahoo Sports at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. As it is for right now, we haven't done this for a while. We've only done it once, and Katie's never been a part of it. It's a little game called Action Overreaction, and the way that this started was at some point in the Western Conference Finals. I can't remember if it was maybe when the Warriors were down 3-1, or no, it was after they had lost a game at home to the Thunder. And we kind of did a whole, the world's falling. The Warriors can't lose at home. And so it started as, you know, is this a fair reaction or an overreaction? And they're like, you know, it kind of rolls off the tongue better to just say action overreaction. So what we'll have is our good buddy Matt George across the glass is going to read a opinionated statement. And we're going to decide if that's an overreaction or if we're taking that action. Matt?
Okay. Guys, Mike Trout is not actually a human, but he's a hyper-evolved baseball-playing post-human monster.
That's right. I'll take that action.
This sounds, by the way, before I'm... Hey.
Yeah, go ahead. You go first.
Man.
Sorry, Katie.
That, by the way, sounds like something Nate would write, for sure.
Why do you say that?
Because he is the freaking president of the Trout fan club, and I'm not talking about, like, rainbow trout, okay?
Something about the smell.
I hate the fact that I kind of have to agree with you on this. I mean, this guy is a five-time All-Star. He's freaking 24 years old. It blows my mind that he is able to do what he does, especially at his age, but it kind of sucks. We were talking about it. Maybe not on the best team.
No, not at all. No, they're
so
terrible.
He's never going to get the kudos that he deserves.
They're arguably the worst team in baseball. I'm taking the action because the guy is absolutely not human.
Oh.
Just to kind of throw this out to there, Mike Trout, through his age 24 season, currently is already worth more wins above replacement than Adrian Gonzalez, a guy that's been in the league twice as long and is a multiple-time All-Star and MVP candidate, Ryan Braun, Troy Tulowitzki, Jose Canseco, Don Mattingly, Fernando Valenzuela. Those are just a few of the guys. Mike Trout has already had a better career than those guys. He's approaching Joey Votto territory when it comes to wins above replacement already. This guy is on another level. He's almost better than some guys that are currently in the Hall of Fame statistically.
Right. I know. I absolutely know and understand. Like, I agree. I took the action as well, which pains me because we should not agree.
We shouldn't.
We should not agree.
But that's okay. We're
not
going to do it.
I'm
not
going
to lie.
Exactly. The only problem I have with it is saying that he is a hyper-evolved baseball-playing post-human monster. I have a little bit of a problem wrapping my head around that. Is that something
too much
just
going
created?
On there?
I mean, he is superhuman, it appears, on the baseball field.
What Katie's saying, if I had wrote it, I would have written like, Mike Trout, good baseball player.
Mike Trout, really good.
He can ball hard. Run fast.
He like fish. Mm-hmm.
But yes, I take that action. Suddenly 100%.
All right.
Okay, what's up?
All right, guys. David Ortiz will postpone his retirement after having a career season.
I'm not going to take that action. I can't do it because there's this part of me that feels, and this is with every player across every sport, you have to know when to hang it up. And I so desperately want to see guys hang it up when they're kind of at their peak or when they're at least not on a steady, steady decline to where we're seeing the worst we've seen of this guy. I want to remember people near or at their greatest.
That's fair. It's an overreaction, although this is the cautionary tale as to why you do not announce your retirement before the season. David Ortiz is on pace right now to have a career year. He currently leads the league in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, on-base plus slugging percentage, OPS plus, doubles. The guy's hitting .332 with an OPS of 1,107. And he's not even playing defense. You know what I mean? Like he's right up there, the league leaders again in WAR without playing any defense. It's a pretty big deal as a designated hitter. He's probably the greatest DH of all time. He's having one of his best seasons, and he's backed himself into a corner. Overreaction, but this is why you don't do that.
Can they give him a 2-week grace period at the start of next season if he's batting like 170 after 2 weeks? He can just say, nope, I retired, my bad.
He's currently posting a career high in batting average.
So you let me get this clear.
Also,
You think that he will postpone?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
All right.
It's an overreaction. I'm saying he shouldn't, though. This is why you don't do that. But he'll retire.
All right, Giants fans, the Dodgers, despite trailing by 6.5 games, are not done in the NL West race.
They are not done. God, I need to get this game down correctly.
Action over reaction.
It's an action.
You're taking the action.
I'm taking the action.
It's like a bet.
You know what,
Nate? You're taking the action, Katie?
Get off me. There's a lot going on this
morning.
Don't
boss me.
Hey,
buddy. You guys got along so well in Vegas.
Yeah. I know.
Is it me?
You know what?
Well, we've got to have the common enemy in Dave.
That's true.
I'm taking the action because there is so much baseball left. I don't think that it matters. I think baseball is one of the sports where you can turn things around. Shoot, there's 162 games. There's plenty of time left.
6.5 game lead for the Giants right now. However, I am taking the action. That is not enough. It's not. I'm sorry. Clayton Kershaw comes back healthy. The Dodgers are a supremely talented team. I see both of them making the playoffs because the Central's down a little bit this year. But the Giants are due for a cold streak. They've just had a boatload of injuries that haven't affected them the way they should. And I'm not saying that they're going to totally eat crap, but there's going to be a dull stretch for about a month there where the Dodgers will probably make a push and we're going to have a really fun September. Give me the action, Matt.
Today's the day that Marty McFly with the
Back
to the Future thing or whatever. The Cubs will finally break their World Series drought.
Man,
I'm sorry.
That's an ongoing joke for
Nate's
us too, Katie.
Okay.
Because you can I did this for a year. Like you can literally tell people any day.
Yes.
Is the day, and I'm like, oh, really? It is.
No, I'm gonna. This is why I'm freaking pissed off at you, Matt. I'm taking the action because I do think that this is the year for the Cubs, but it's a year late. I just think that. The Back to the Future prediction, they were so close, but it's just a year off. And how freaking amazing would that have been? But I think that any Cubs fan at this point would say, I don't care if it's a year off, as long as it happens. I think it's going to happen. I'm taking the action.
I'm not. Overreaction for me.
Okay.
It's the Cubs, man. I thought last year was all lined up. And then somehow the Mets, like Daniel Murphy, turned into Mike Trout. And he became that post-human robot monster. And that was it. And it's hard for me until I see otherwise. I know that all these years are unattached, but after 100 some odd years of this, it's hard for me to believe that the Cubs are going to just stop cubbing. Joe Maddon's great. I mean, I love everything about that team from the top to the bottom. Their uniforms, their you know, Wrigley Field. Joe Maddon's
and
a
even
neat
the
dude.
Story behind their,
Anthony
yeah,
Rizzo is a
their
monster.
Their front office and whatnot.
Right,
yeah,
like
it's
the
amazing.
Whole thing is great. I just, the Cubs are going to cub to me. And I think if I'm taking Cubs versus the field, that's an overreaction. I'd take the field.
Well, I respectfully, well, not really respectfully, disagree with you.
Fine. The sad part is Nate said that Back to the Future crap for two straight weeks, and I bought it every single day,
yes.
But we're approaching time here, so I'm just going to jump to one more. The Giants and the A's will make a trade with each other before the deadline.
Ugh.
Getting deep for that.
I'm going to say it's going to happen. I'm taking that action.
I'm with you.
I would not be surprised. I mean, it doesn't. You would like to say it's an overreaction because basically the A's have had the Giants numbers, and you want to think that there's such a thing as it's kind of like in the NBA where it's like, oh, you're not going to trade to a rival, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But that's just not the case in baseball. There's too much going on. I see this happening. I'll take it.
Me too. I'll take the action. A lot of players that the A's could be looking to unload that the Giants need. I don't know what's going on with Hunter Pence. Josh Reddick has apparently been on the block. Love that guy and think he would be a great fit playing right field there. And then you've got a guy like Danny Valencia that could maybe be a good bat off the bench. And that's not even to get into the bullpen. John Axford, Ryan Madsen, Mark Stepchinski, all guys that could probably help the Giants. I think one of them is going to make it across the bay this year.
Do you have your eye on one that you think it's actually going to happen?
I've wanted Josh Reddick for a long time.
I mean, you kind of have a man crush mm-hmm. on him.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's excellent.
He really is.
And defensively, you need a guy like that in that ballpark. Yeah. So I like that action. So. We like it.
That I was
good.
That.
You good with that, Katie? That. You feeling all right?
As an A's fan, I hate you.
I know. I love it. I love it that there's an A's fan and a Giants fan. Then I don't really give a crap. so I'm like the buffer between the two of you. As a first time, that was all right.
Okay. Well, we'll try to do better next time. We've got more baseball coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Mike Oz of Yahoo Sports is going to check in with us and break down the second part of the season. Until then, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, the ESPYs were last night, and a couple of big name players decided to step up, stand in front of the camera, and make a pretty big statement to continue our political discussion from the other day. That's when we return on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Yeah, made it to the midway point there, K-Train.
Yeah. And thanks for all the texts from our texters, by the way, on the text line. You can hit us up at 44-1140. Of course, you can call us at 339-1140. Without Dave, I mean, there's a lot more time for people to call in and talk, let's be honest. Like, we'll hear from
we
you.
We need you!
From the 916, sorry guys, no trade between the A's and the Giants since 1990. I get that.
You know what that trade was?
No, I don't.
Darren Lewis for Ernie Riles.
Well, look at you. Mm-hmm. Did you have to pull that up, or did you?
It was already up right in front of me.
Oh, it was. Oh, look at you.
Actually,
no,
that's not actually true.
Guess what? It's due.
Because
1990.
Actually, it was 2004. The A's acquired pitcher Adam Pettyjohn for cash. The last player for player exchange came in 1990. So good knowledge by the texter there.
Yeah, by the way, that's great from the 916.
But now, I look at that and I just see the guys that the A's have. It seems like a sell time for them and. Yeah. Man, a lot of those dudes fill needs for the Giants.
Did you just say the A's paid to acquire someone?
I know.
That's a rarity.
It was an 04. They had a couple of bucks.
Oh, but this one you should have fun with, and I just want to read it for you. From the 916 as well. Ortiz should not be in baseball.
Is that an anti-DH sentiment, or do we just not like David Ortiz? Is it PEDs? Elaborate. I want to know. Text back in and elaborate on that, because statistically that's not true, but I'm sure that you have more to back that up than simply he should not be in baseball. It's got to be like a character thing or something.
Something.
Right? Or
because
anti-DH.
Yeah. And we all know that, you know, statistically, baseball, it means nothing in baseball. Stats are nothing, right?
Right, meaningless.
So, yeah, totally meaningless. So that right there in and of itself, the stats, no, they shouldn't speak for themselves. This guy doesn't belong to baseball.
Now, before we get to this thing with LeBron, Carmelo, and the guys at the ESPYs speaking out against violence, there's a couple things I wanted to follow up on here. One of them being the Tom Brady situation, and we were pointing out kind of how it's probably not going to go to the Supreme Court, and a lot of that is simply because this is the collective bargaining agreement that the mm-hmm. Players Association negotiated for when they granted Roger Goodell this ridiculously broad scope of power. And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because I'm going to take you back to 2011 when they were formulating this CBA.
Okay.
And the players had to vote on it. And one of the things that came up
Wait, are we talking NBA or NFL? NFL?
We're talking about NFL.
Yeah. Okay.
What did I say?
You said NFL. I was just checking to make
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about the NFL. So when this thing's being collectively bargained and they're trying to grant Roger Goodell basically the power to be the judge, jury, prosecutor,
supreme
and
dictator.
Executioner.
Yeah, supreme dictator.
So one of the things in one of the court ruling against Tom Brady, 2-1, was written by Barrington Parker, writing for the majority, explaining the commissioner properly exercised his broad discretion under the CBA and that his procedural rulings were properly grounded in that agreement. Basically saying, you guys agreed to this. Sorry, you've got to deal with
it.
Well, back in 2011, there was one team that warned about this coming. One team. And that was the Pittsburgh Steelers. The only NFL team to vote against this CBA, they did so, Katie, by a margin of 78-6 with James Harrison basically saying, he was gloating on Twitter yesterday, he said, yeah, it's because the CBA y'all voted for gave him the power to dish out any punishment he want. Hashtag Steelers voted no. For some reason, they were the only locker room in the NFL that understood what was going on in that CBA. They warned everyone. Nobody listened, now here we are.
I think this is the thing, is when it comes to Roger Goodell, and I always think of him. I think it was like the cover of ESPN the magazine, or maybe it was SI a handful of years ago, where it was the picture of him sitting on the throne from Game of Thrones, right? He is kind of that supreme dictator. And like you, the best part you say, and it's so true, is the executioner as well. He makes all of the decisions. So when you look at all of the legal stuff that has been going on, I kind of, in Tom Brady's court case, it's like, he exercised his right under the, CBA and so on and so forth. Well, they gave him a ton of power. So how are you supposed to argue about it once you've kind of given that power?
Well, I mean, I think
can it change? Can it change? Like at this point, can you take power away from Roger Goodell?
Gotta wait for it to expire.
It's just going to continue to snowball.
Mm-hmm.
But when is the next CBA up, did you say?
Oh, I don't have that in front
of me. You don't
have
that? I'm not sure either.
Yeah, I don't.
Those things are usually, a handful of years? It's like five, maybe? Does it work the same way as it does in the NBA? Like, I think the NBA is like around 5 years. Wasn't the last one in 2000? Because the lockout year was...
See, it looks like this one's set to expire after the 2020 season.
2020?
So
holy
this,
cow.
I mean, once again, this is just an example of the NFL players have the absolute most pathetic union in all of sports.
You know what? I blame the concussion protocol.
Is that what it is?
Apparently, the Steelers were the only ones that had the lower rate of concussions.
I mean, I mean, you're talking about, and this is not new, but you're talking about the most dangerous physical sport where guys have the shortest shelf life and they make the least amount of guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And there's more than enough money flowing through this league for this to be taken care of. Yet for some reason, these players don't read the stuff that's put in front of them, and they do things like not only giving the commissioner like sole power to do everything, but also letting him determine what constitutes conduct detrimental.
Right. Well, here's my thing, and I'm going to relate this kind of...
This right here, hold on a second. This is directly from Judge Parker in the ruling. It says, had the parties wished to restrict the commissioner's authority, they could have fashioned a different agreement.
Right. That's the blame game. It's your guys' fault. There's nothing. My hands are tied from a legal perspective because...
Hey, morons.
Yes.
Get better lawyers.
But it's not even that. Like, yes, I understand the get better lawyers thing. You said that they have the worst, players association or union or whatever that there is. I want to say it was maybe 2004 for me. Like when I was playing in the WNBA, we had a CBA that was coming up. Mm-hmm. And we would have our meetings would be on the road when we were on the East Coast and we're out there. And so, our union representatives would come to whatever and meet with us. And it was a bother for so many people, right? Like you had to do it after practice. You'd rather be taking a nap or whatever.
Right.
People were so disinterested in it.
It's an obligation.
And here I am. I'm like, dude, you guys need to, A, want to come, and B, come and pay attention and know what the hell is going on. Because guess what happened after that? We went ahead and had people like Lisa Leslie, Tina Thompson. These were our top level players, our franchise players, the ones that had the tags in for each team that were representing the players with our union. And they made this decision about raising the veteran minimum. Because, of course, yeah, more money sounds better. The veteran minimum, have it be higher. Guess what that in effect did? They raised the veteran minimum without raising the salary cap. And in essence, what that did is it took a lot of veterans, girls, women that should be in the league, out of the league because teams could not afford to pay them. Mm. So it's like, I don't know. It's logical. Pay attention. These people think they're doing you a favor, but they're obviously not doing the math either. And to me, as a player, that's your responsibility. Right. You have a responsibility to yourselves and to the overall product. What they did is they ended up damaging the overall product of the league because you have got a bunch of, you know, rookies come in that aren't the level of players that some of these veterans are, but guess what? They're affordable. Mm-hmm. So this is no different with the NFL players in the sense that read the information that's put in front of you, make a decision. Don't just go and collect your paycheck and think that that's all you're there to do. You actually have a responsibility to the players now, to yourself, and to the future players and the league to make good decisions when it comes to this. Because guess what? You have a little bit of power in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And the sad part is, as long as in some of these situations, as long as some of these union heads are able to walk out with a couple of talking points like, hey, we raised salaries.
Yeah.
Right? We raised salaries.
Yeah, we did you a favor.
Exactly.
And no, you didn't do anybody a favor.
No.
At all.
And it hurts. And that kind of has me, you know, we were going to do the ESPY thing here, but that kind of turns me right over to an article I read yesterday by our colleague, Ken Berger of CBS Sports, NBA writer. He was speaking with Adam Silver because, you know, Adam Silver was having his post Board of Governors news conference.
Yeah.
And, you know, Adam Silver's like, he's really pretty tweaked about the whole Kevin Durant going to the Warriors thing. You know, I mean, he's made it very clear that there's nothing he could do about it. But some of the quotes were pretty interesting out of him. He says, quote, "I don't think it's good for the league, just to be clear. I will say whoever is the prohibitive favorite, try telling that to the 430 other players who aren't on those two teams. I mean, we have the greatest collection of basketball players in the world in our league, so I'm not making any prediction, but there's no question that they, the Warriors, have a better chance at winning than many other teams." He went on to say, "Of course, we've discussed the activities from the last 2 weeks of free agency. I think we do need to re-examine some of the elements of our system so that I'm not here next year or the year after again talking about anomalies. There are certain things, corrections we believe we can make in the system. Of course, we're not going to negotiate here with the union. It requires two parties to make those changes. I think we've had very, very productive discussions so far, blah, 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 blah."
I understand what he's saying.
Right. Bringing that all down, the what he's saying there is that this was not supposed to happen, right? These contracts, all this player movement, this is not the way it was supposed to go. He even said they didn't plan when they drafted this CBA for this large of a spike.
Right. In terms of the money, the TV money, and how much
it's more than they even anticipated.
It's more than they anticipated. And guess what? It's going up next year. And I understand what he's saying in the sense of you're basically developing a super team.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, that does not ensure that Golden State is going to win the title next year, but the odds are in their favor right now. But all kinds of things factor in, like staying healthy, which, guess what? Kevin Durant has had some issues with that in the past. And we saw kind of a little bit of that happen to the Warriors this season, specifically in the playoffs, where they had some injuries. Steph Curry had the injury, and then Andrew Bogut, and all kinds of stuff started to happen as the playoffs progressed and they went deeper into it. And I believe that's ultimately what ended up costing them the title.
Mm-hmm.
But if they stay healthy, can you say that there's a team? I don't even know that any team with LeBron on it could beat the Warriors next year. You cannot fault them, though. They did maybe one of the—
They did it right. They've got the MVP on a freakishly undervalued contract.
But the fact that they were able to maneuver that and have the cap space available to make the move.
It's not a mistake.
This is something that they orchestrated years— We see this all the time when you have those prime-time players, the LeBrons, the Carmelo Anthonys, the Kevin Durants. When they come up for free agency, it's such a big deal. And every team in the league is making moves to maneuver so that they have the space to bring them on.
But it's not okay when the one that's the best does it.
They figured out a way to make a long-term plan. And guess what? There you go. Guess what? Everybody thought there was no shot that Kevin Durant was going to leave Golden State. But he did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because of the money. He wants to win. And this is the team that knocked them out of the Western Conference Finals. And you have to give credit to Jerry West. There was a sales pitch there that was unlike any other sales pitch, because the way that he approached it is just do what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a level of respect between he's the logo.
Right.
My God. Everybody knows that, and there's that level of respect. But their sales pitch was not about what the Warriors could do for him and a winning. It's make the right decision for you as a person. Really think about that.
Right.
And one of his biggest issues going into this is leaving Oklahoma City. How would he be perceived in the media? And I don't know what they said to him, but he bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. And he is now in Golden State. And guess what? We'll get to see him quite a bit this year, and that should be interesting. I think every time you see the Warriors on your schedule this year, every team is kind of shaking in their boots, because they are a super team now.
Well, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing accidental about Kevin Durant going to the Warriors.
Yeah.
And for Adam Silver to, I mean, listen, he cannot like it. That's fair.
Yeah.
I don't think But to try to negotiate anything in the CBA, the irony to me, Katie, is for him to say that this is a broken labor deal. The only thing that is broken about this is that the players are still getting shafted.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Even though they're about to get there, as we've seen, the salaries have skyrocketed.
And it's
still think they're getting shafted.
They are, because there's max deal. Like, you're telling me, listen, Mike Conley got a huge number, right? And everyone's like, that's way too much money for Mike Conley.
It was like $150 or something, if I remember correctly. So
I think it was $130. Yeah, but like him and DeMar DeRozan both. You think that number's not higher if there's no max salary?
Right.
Like that, salary caps, contract length limits.
This goes back to the thing where, hey, if I want to spend, you know, 75% of our salary cap on one guy, why should I not be able to do
that?
That's
what
you're saying.
You're already limiting the amount of money that these guys can make in an unfair way.
Right.
You force them to go to a team not of their choosing when they start the league, and you limit their pay that way. You don't even put them on the open market. And now you're trying to say it's broken, and you're going to try to restrict their movement, more? How do you do that?
I understand what you're saying, but the reality of the situation is for any professional league to be watchable, you cannot allow things like this have to be in place so that.
That's not true, though.
Yes.
No, because it's not like that in European soccer. The British Premier League's like the most.
Now you're bringing football.
No, but
to
what I'm saying is
football?
That. No, what I'm saying is that you're talking about in the Barclays Premier League. You're talking about the biggest professional league on the planet. Like, it's the most popular professional league on the planet, and everyone knows there's haves and there's have-nots. That's just the way it is. It's still the most.
What the NBA is trying to do. I see what you're saying, and
there's no player unions. There's
no
contract restrictions.
I'm not going to agree with you. I see what you're saying. My point in this with the NBA is they're trying to make it so we do not know every year who is going to win, so that there is a level of competition, so that it's like the Western Conference, which is by far heads and shoulders above the Eastern Conference in terms of competition. And it's just stacked. There are so many good teams in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't want it to be where there's like two or three good teams in the entire league, and that's it. They have every player, because then teams like Sacramento, Oklahoma City, these small market teams are going to get shafted because no one's going to want to go there.
Well, if that's already kind of the case,
I know then that's what I'm saying. It already makes it difficult. So if you're saying that a team,
you have to ask yourself if a top heavy league can sustain itself. I think that's what we're getting to, and whether
I don't think it can. It's unwatchable.
Well, and that would actually take you back to some of the other bad decisions that the NBA has made over the years in terms of relocation and coming to this. Hey, if you build an arena, we'll bring you a team type of deal, because now. Oklahoma City abandoned Vancouver, or I'm sorry, I have that wrong. Oklahoma City abandoned Seattle, much larger market, simply because Oklahoma City would build them an arena.
Right.
Now Kevin Durant's gone, Russell Westbrook's probably going to be gone, and you're in a way smaller market than Seattle. Like, that team would be a lot better off being crappy in Seattle than it will be in Oklahoma City. The same goes for a Memphis Grizzlies team that left Vancouver, right? And most teams that leave, the NBA has abandoned larger markets just to chase out stop it.
Yeah. So,
the point is there's haves, there's have-nots, and I think they could sustain just fine. Let's talk with Casey. You're on KHTK. What's up, Casey?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So one thought that I had that, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily change everything about super teams, but guys like David West and Zaza Pachulia who are taking, you know, $2 million to go play for a team like this, I think they could implement a rule that says, like, when David West signed with the Spurs, he was making $10 million a year before. They could do it something where you could only sign for, like, 20% less than what you made the year before of your fair market value rather than just taking $2 million to go build a super team.
Wait, hold on. I need to get through that again. What are you talking about, like, not allowing guys to take pay cuts to go play for them?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Like, that would, like, be interesting.
So if you make $10 million last year, you can't sign for less than, you know, $8 million the next year.
Oh, interesting.
In order to go sign with a team to be a super team.
That's thanks for the call, Casey. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure, like, that's kind of like this half-baked neat idea that looks good on paper. I'm not sure how you implement it.
Yeah.
Like, how do you determine what is a super team? At what point, is, you know, do the Warriors become a team that you can take a pay cut to play for? That's why it's certainly a more interesting idea than restricting guys' maximum salaries.
Adam Silver is saying, look, I respect a player's right to be able to do this. But he's also admitting, hey, we were caught off guard with the money because this is allowing things like a power balance to shift in the NBA. And he doesn't want it to get top heavy. And a texter from the 916, I think, really kind of hit it on the head. And this is what we were trying to get to. Silver doesn't like it because it kills competitive balance in the league, which hurts viewership and hurts revenue. That's the only reason.
I don't think it does that much.
I do. I think eventually, if it's not curbed now, I don't think it's going to make a big difference next year. But if they don't address it in the next CBA, what is that going to be 5 years down the line? You have to be a forward thinker. When you're in his position, you have to be able to see what could potentially happen and try to stop it.
And
maybe
protect
it
his owners.
Happen.
I get
yes.
it. But that's, to me, this is a market that's going to correct itself. I mean, for 3-4 years down the road, these bad contracts are going to catch up with teams. You know, like now the Warriors have to figure out what happens when they do really want to pay Steph Curry. What happens when they really want to, you know, like, all of that is going to have to go into it now. And ask yourself, too, how did these teams get good enough to lure these guys in the first place? Was that a mistake? I mean, I guess you could consider it kind of lucky to get a LeBron James or, a Steph Curry in the draft.
Yeah, well, LeBron was the number one pick. That's not lucky being horrible in terms of Golden State getting Steph in the draft. Tons of people passed up on him. They just did a good job of scouting. The Warriors
right,
have
like
put
I'm
them
saying,
their,
like, they
yes.
made their teams
yes,
good.
I
There's
understand
a reason
that.
They're luring these teams
I understand
in.
That.
So if you're the...
We're missing out on the style, too, because that's one of the things. Mm-hmm. The style.
So, yeah,
that
the
Golden
point
State
is everyone
plays.
Else needs to do it better.
Yes. Well,
Adam.
You know what? It's 7:56.
Do it as well as Katie does.
It's time to drive safe, which means do it better. But in case you're not doing it better and you're in an accident, visit Gambos.com for a free online estimate.
We like it. We got a lot of baseball. If you want to jump in on this topic, too, we'll take your phone calls. But up next, Yahoo Sports, Big League Stew blog. We're going to talk a little baseball with Mike Oz coming up on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.